Today's topic is based on 2 Peter chapter 2. The marks of a false prophet. What do we mean by this? Living in a perilous world, in perilous time, with deception around us, there are so many who claim to be pastors, preachers, prophets, preaching the word of God, who are not, according to how they present themselves. And we are given spiritual wisdom, which we must exercise, and not be carried about with every whim and fancy. Do you understand what a prophet is? Let me define it for you so that once and for all, you will never be deceived. A prophet is a person who purports to speak for God. And whatever he says is supposed to come from God. That is a prophet. But prophets there are, true and false. Some are true, some are false. How do we know? How can we know? Except the Spirit of God and the Word of God instruct us and illumine us and open our eyes and cause us to understand. There is no other way you can differentiate a true prophet from a false prophet. A very simple example that we all remember is the contest on Mount Carmel. We all remember the event, most well known and memorable, when one man confronted 450 false prophets. One man, the man of God called Elijah. And opposing him, 450 others, all claiming to be prophets, but of the idol Baal. Some people call it Baal, but B-A-A-L is better pronounced the Hebrew way, Baal. So then we have a true prophet of God, the most famous, most powerful, and most memorable. We all remember the name of Elijah, one of the two Old Testament prophets and saints who did not die. And God honored him. He was a true prophet, one who lived with God and lived for God and spoke for God. That made him a prophet. So this morning we are here to understand, who are the false prophets? And how can we know? Let's turn to the Word of God in 2 Peter chapter 2. As you may recall, we have adopted the theme for this year of 2010. The theme is walking with God in perilous times, and I hope that you remember this and pray for it. For even as you pray, God will answer and help you to understand what it is to walk with God in perilous times. Why it is so important? Because if you do not, you may be swept away to walk with the world, and the end of that walk is destruction. So let us read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 only. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. This is a warning. And first, an example is given us in history. As we all know, there were false prophets. I've just mentioned the 450 false prophets. As there were, the Apostle Peter says, there will be. You've seen the example of old times. It will be repeated. Only thing is, it's going to be more frequent, more dangerous, and more deceptive. Why are there false prophets, you ask me? Do you know the answer? Why should there be false prophets? True prophets are to turn us to God, to show us the way of God, to tell us the mind of God, according as they understand it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And by the Word of God, we have it in our hands today. In our Constitution, it says, we believe the Word of God is inerrant, infallible, inspired. And as we all understand today, more than that, it is also preserved. So that word we have, that is a safeguard. That as we walk through perilous times, we have that wonderful word. Now let's read again, chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be. It's coming. It's here, right now. It could well be in amongst the congregation, as there have been. We have experienced them. They come in and bring deviant doctrines, false doctrines, and try to gather some people to follow them. And when exposed and confronted, they have disappeared. They've left the congregation. Thank God for that. I pray that there will not be more false prophets in our congregation. Why are there false prophets? You know, while the true prophets of God turn us to God, the false prophets turn us against God. This is the problem. Why we are concerned with them. While we preach the truth, they preach the untruth. And they come in, and they are very cunning. They are very friendly and persuasive, but they deceive. It says here, as there shall be false teachers among you. Among whom? Among the Christian churches. It is a prediction, and we see it coming true. Today, not every BP church is BP. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Not every Bible Presbyterian church is true to our calling. What is our calling? Why did we have a BP church which was never in existence in Singapore until 1950? Why? God raised witnesses who said we must separate from unbelief, deception, the end time peril that is in our midst. For as this passage tells us, there shall be false teachers. And not just shall be, but shall be more and more. This is a problem. It is a sign. You know, the disciples came to Jesus, the Lord, and said, Lord, you've told us you're coming back. Wonderful. But please, tell us the signs. And the first sign the Lord told them is, there shall be false Christs and false prophets. Watch out for them. They don't announce themselves. So they say, okay, he says he's a false prophet. They all come as wolves in sheep's clothing. You don't discern them by the appearance. But you know them by their speech and their works. Are you ready to identify them and to prepare yourselves against them? This is a sign of the end times. Jesus says, before I come, there will be a proliferation of false prophets because they do not want you to be saved. They do not want you to know the truth and to follow and obey the truth, because they give you something else. So even in the lawsuit, we experience a glimpse of it. a taste of it, that they are charging the people who preach and teach the truth with heresy. They say that is wrong. We are right. So there is a problem there. And it is all foretold. Jesus says, watch out. You want to know the signs of my coming? Very good. I'm telling you, the first sign is false Christs. They will come and they proclaim themselves to be the way, the truth, the life. You follow them, they say. This is the sign. Now read on, please. Among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Today, I was reading the Christian News, and it says there was a poll taken in America, and 2/3 of the pastors in the Presbyterian Church do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. In other words, they no longer believe in the infallible Word of God and in the Almighty only Savior Jesus Christ. They say other ways are also good. Now this is Presbyterian Church of America. What are we? We are Presbyterians. But different, we have the Bible Presbyterian. But the father of lies is never inactive. He is always up to something. So you call yourself BP, I will infiltrate your BP. So that there are BPs today who have turned to new versions, which are all the products of Satan. You do not know. But we have to tell you. And being faithful servants, we tell you even, if necessary, pleading and crying, weeping, that you may understand. We are not banning new versions for the sake of banning, that we may sell more of King James Bible. No, it is not commercial. But it is the salvation of souls. But that these new Bibles are polluted. Every one of them that is in common use today is poisoned. Does that ring a bell? False prophets have put them in. Who were the false prophets? Two of them, well known. And these false prophets never come and say, put a label on their chest and say, I'm a false prophet. They don't. They come in privily, quietly, and pretend to be good people. And so they are called professors, bishops, Westcott and Hort. Wow. And there are some BPs who hold the Westcott and Hort New Testament as though it is the Bible. And they follow it and obey it and propagate it. These are the false prophets. If you know who Westcott and Hort are, we are not here to talk about them today, but they are two of the most deceptive and most cunning and most evil and destructive wolves in sheep's clothing, and they infiltrated and they came in and they injected the poison, and the result is they brought down this Bible, King James Bible. So today we have 100 versions of the Bible, all brought in because of false prophets in the church. It's no use for them to be in the world, because they do their damage only in the church. And this is what we all ought to be aware of. Are you aware of? Now let's read on. These people, still in verse 1, the second part, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. How do they deny the Lord that bought them? Do you know that in the new versions, some of the Bibles drop off thousands of words which are in the King James Bible, are dropped off. Words and verses which describe the deity of Jesus Christ are dropped off. all those verses that talk of Jesus only salvation drop off. Don't want them. This is the way false prophets work. And if you don't know, say, oh yeah, it reads so good, NIV, so easy to understand. Your KJV, so difficult to understand. Understanding is not in the English. A language changes. Understanding is in the mind that God gives to you. Spiritual understanding. To understand the Bible requires the Holy Spirit, not English, please understand. Because it can be converted and it can be revived by Chinese, Indonesian, Dutch or German or any other language. It's the working of the Holy Spirit. And false prophets come in and inject poison into Bibles. Do you know? That is why we are so particular about why you should just use this version. Until we get a better, we still use this because this is the closest to the original. Now read on, please. Verse 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. I pray that you will not. I pray that the Lord will keep you faithful, following only the truth, only by humbling ourselves before God, only by pleading with the Lord, say, please have mercy on me. Cause me to understand the truth from the untruth. How do we know? Answer is only the Holy Spirit can convince you. Not me, not anybody else. You say, well, you preach and I believe. You believe not because of me. You believe because Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. And you accept the truth as the truth of God. Praise the Lord for that. So what must you do? I said, pray every day. On your knees. Humbly. Weeping if necessary. Lord, I'm foolish. I cannot understand. But your Holy Spirit of promise, and I submit myself to thee. My God, my Savior, my Redeemer, please send me Holy Spirit. Will He send you the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. That is the only way. That you humble yourself and pray earnestly, honestly, sincerely, from your heart, every one of us here, pleading with the Lord every day, Lord, give me faith. Give me Holy Spirit that I may understand the true from the false. True prophets from false prophets. And you cannot know false prophets. You cannot identify false prophets unless you know the truth. Right? So that is why it's so important you read the Bible with understanding. Not by attending a Bible college such as FEBC, which is good you attend there. Attending there can still produce apostates out of there, you understand? For so many of the preachers and pastors in these various BP churches that are attacking the Bible college came from FEBC. So FEBC is no protection, although we recommend it. We need all the instruction of God. Humbling ourselves and say, Lord, please, never allow me to become a false prophet. How awful, because on the judgment day, the punishment for false prophets will be far greater than those of the ordinary rank and file sinners who are not forgiven. Because they have caused unnumbered millions through the false Bibles, through the false teaching. Think of it. Imagine you tune into television and there you see Billy Graham telling the people, God is calling men and women out of all religions, whether they be Christians, Buddhists, any kind of religion, atheists even. But God is calling them all to heaven. You say, wow, wonderful. So why should I be a BP? I can be anything. Billy Graham says we all go to heaven anyhow. You understand? How can you understand? You say, well, Billy Graham is so important, so admired. Everybody says Billy Graham is good. Who are you? So people take to false prophets today abound. And this is a sign that the Lord is coming. And the Lord allows it. For Satan is a mastermind, the father of lies, father of deception. And he goes all out to put out these new Bibles, deceptive Bibles, false prophets to preach the false gospel. And big names convince people because they look for big names. Are you looking for big names? You won't find them here. Yeah, here are just sinners saved by the marvelous grace of God, proclaiming the truth. But God says to us, now, while you sit here, watch out, because there will be false prophets. Read on now. Verse 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. You know what is pernicious? Very wicked, and very effective, and very powerful. They will deceive and persuade you that it is true, even though at first you think, doesn't look good. But when you go into it deeper, you are caught. It is pernicious. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That is right. That FEBC was charged for heresy. Where does it say so? It says here, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You teach the truth that the word is preserved without mistake because the texts are preserved. Where does your Bible come from? From the texts. That is the truth. Are you persuaded? Verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. This has broad application, but definitely you can see this applied to the perpetuators and the merchants of the New English versions. Do you know NIV, one printing is 100 million copies. What did I say? Not 100 copies, you know. 100 million. If you make $1 a copy, that's $100 million already. Where does it say about this? Through covetousness. They with feigned words, with false advertisement, high-powered media tactics, they tell you, NIV is so wonderful. Reads so well, most understandable, easiest to understand, etc., etc. Blow it to the skies through high power media IT today. And people believe, and Rupert Murdoch of Zondervan reaps in the millions of dollars. Where does it say so? Here it is. Verse 3. Through covetousness. And do you know that NIV has gone through 5 editions? Every edition means more millions. One is called couples edition. For couples. Doesn't matter if you are married. As long as you are a couple. You read this, it also teaches you how to enjoy sex. It's all in there. Amazing. Why? Verse 3. Through covetousness, with feigned words, with false persuasion. Why do we read the Bible? You read that Bible to get a pleasant weekend of enjoying sex. That's all. And you enrich Rupert Murdoch. You say, why do you mention a name? I mention a name because he's a name. He's a real man. Otherwise you think I'm talking imagination. No. Rupert Murdoch was Australian. He made his fortune in Australia. He went to America, made bigger fortune in America. He's now American. And he is a very staunch and loyal and faithful Roman Catholic. And therefore he makes all this to enrich his company, Zondervan. Years ago when I was younger, whenever you say Zondervan, good. You can be sure anything out of Zondervan is good. But false prophets have come in and taken over. All the management is no longer as before. So, you know, what do you know, dear friends? The tempter and the enemy of our souls is smarter than we are. So through one man, he's taken over the rights to print NIV. And out of NIV comes all the poison of unbelief. You cannot imagine something more smart and cunning than the father of lies putting into the Bible, the one that is supposed to be the guidebook to life, the chart to heaven, is now turned upside down. All the false words and the false methods of, and the roadmap to heaven has been changed. It says, now let's read on. They shall make merchandise of you. This warning of false prophets is given not just by Jesus and by Peter. Maybe I'll turn you to the writing of Paul. Yes, that's our favorite apostle of the Bible. Just two passages of Paul's warning. Then it will help us to understand better in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Alright, please turn there quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Timothy is after Thessalonians. Alright, verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, again, the Spirit speaketh expressly to call to attention. Don't think this is a fooling matter. It's not a playing matter. It is very important because it involves our salvation. For if you believe in the false doctrine, you're finished. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, again and again, we are impressed by this term of latter times. When you hear of these warnings, please switch your time frame to the end times. These are the days immediately following, immediately preceding the coming of Jesus. And these prophecies, when they take place, very soon to follow is the Lord Jesus will return. Do you believe this? This is an important question at this point. I'm challenging and I ask you, do you really believe? You know that there are many churches, in fact, if you go and make a survey of 100 churches in Singapore, I would say at least 95 never teach them about Jesus' return. Never. I've checked this with friends. You go to a church, what did they preach? Oh, good things, very nice, very nice. Did they tell you Jesus is coming? Oh, what is that? This alone is a false prophet. A prophet who is true must preach the whole gospel. And the whole gospel includes repentance in Jesus and faith in Jesus Christ for salvation and living a holy life. And then he must tell them about the Lord is coming, about the Lord is coming. For what is the use of a Savior who saves only for this earth? What about heaven that is promised? That heaven that is promised comes to us through our Savior's coming again. Please understand. He must come. So you can check on who are the false prophets. Which are the false churches? Now read on first. Chapter 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. Expressly meaning to say, hey, please pay attention. I'm telling you. Not for fun at all, and not just as a routine, but this is very important, expressly. What does it say? In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Yes. In the latter times, When you see false prophets appear, you know the Lord is on the way. What am I doing about it? Every time you hear false teaching, now when I was in school, just to digress a little, 1930s, 1940s, what did the bishops who came from the Methodist Church to us say? If Jonah was swallowed by a whale, and you can believe it, you can also believe that Jonah swallowed the whale. Ah, of course that's an impossibility. How can a man swallow a whale? Therefore, that false prophet has left an idea to tell you, this book of Jonah is only a fairy tale. Right? He says, if you believe the whale swallowed Jonah, you can also believe Jonah also swallowed the whale. Read on, please. So that was Anglo-Chinese school, ACS, my old school. It started good. But as I said, you can start good. Important thing is to end good. Be good, halfway become bad, and end bad is very bad. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. These false prophets have no conscience. What do you mean by no conscience? They don't care what happens to the listeners, because by their false teaching, all those who heard that broadcast of Billy Graham say, it's okay, I don't need to be a Christian. Hip hip hooray, enjoy life, everybody will be in heaven. Or in this case, the ACS bishop comes along and says, boys and girls, or no girls, only boys. It's all right. You believe Jonah swallowed the whale? Oh, that is gospel. And so you go home and say, ha ha, the Bible is full of fairy tales only. Now, which part of the Bible can you believe? If there are some fairy tales, how can you know which is fairy tale, which is not fairy tale? Therefore, your faith in the whole Bible is collapsed. These people preach that kind of message to cause many people to lose their faith altogether, and they are willing for them to go to hell. For without faith, you cannot go to heaven, you go to hell. And they are very happy they did it. Why? It says here, their conscience is here, chapter 4, verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having the conscience seared with hot iron. Conscience is already baked dry and dead. No conscience. So, false prophets preach their false doctrines to cause people who believe to lose their salvation and end up in hell. And what do they care? They couldn't care less, because they have no conscience. This is what it says. Now another verse from Paul's pen. 2 Peter. This is even more startling. 2 Peter chapter 4. Second Peter chapter 4, verses 2 to 5. Yeah, you should find Second Timothy. I'm sorry, this is a sign of maybe early Alzheimer's. Second Timothy, I was going to tell you, it's very easy to find Second Timothy. If you found First Timothy, you just follow First Timothy. All right. So I beg your pardon. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. This is a word to all of us here. Preach the word. You say, who do I preach? Preach the word to your children. Tell them of the Savior who saves. Tell them of the Bible. Preach it earnestly, conscientiously. Be instant in season, out of season, any time. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is saying. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Because if you don't do this, Soon there will become a time when your children will not want to hear the gospel anymore. You must do it now. Be instant, in season, out of season. So the next verse says, verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." As young children, they are more amenable, persuasible. You can persuade them. You tell them lovingly. Pray with them, your children. Are you doing it, dear friends? We've been talking about family worship. I tell you, family worship is the sign of revival in your home. And it is the most difficult thing to do if you don't want to do it. If you are determined to do it for the Lord and as a faithful servant of God, as a true prophet. You say, can I be a prophet? Of course. A prophet is just one who speaks for the Lord. You are a prophet. So be a prophet. Be a good prophet to your children, because the time will come when they do not want to hear you anymore. When they know so much more, when they are in the teens, they have their own peers, their own circle of friends. Who is father? Who is mother? They're so old-fashioned. They know nothing. And they look down on you. It's coming. Don't you laugh. Yes. Very soon. So remember this. It says here, the time will come. Who says so? The word of God says so. The time will come when they do not want to hear you anymore. Do it tonight. Think of your children. Think of the souls of children, the salvation of your children. And they matter, for they are precious. If not precious to you, they're precious to God. But they are precious to you and to God, and you owe them a duty. Tell them lovingly. Now, do not wait until they do not want to hear you. Verse 3. The time will come when your children will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear about, wow, what is that book that sold 400 million copies? That little wizard. Huh? Harry Potter. You see, another sign of Alzheimer's now. Yes. They will hear Harry Potter. They're all enthralled, enchanted. They love to go whizzing around the space and transform into a wizard, into a witch. Amazing. They love it. They love it. They love it. That's why 400 million copies went to this woman called Dowling or something. Sorry. Never mind. We all know who she is. Please, the Word of God says, be in time. You have a duty to your children. You have a duty to those who depend on you. Tell them lovingly now, before they do not want to hear you anymore. So, verse 4 says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Tell them the truth. Tell them lovingly. Read to them the Bible. Read with them the Bible. Let them read the Bible. Let you explain the Bible to them. And tell them the truth as a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. Now our time is up. I'm going to show you OHP. Yes, this sermon is incomplete without this OHP. In case you cannot see it because the words are not very black, this was in Straits Times 5 days ago. It was in the front page headline. Front page of headline is read by at least 500,000 people in Singapore. Everybody knows it. What do you read on that day? Did you all read it? Yeah? You cannot miss it if you read Straits Times. It says, more girls between 12 and 14 are now having sex. And then what is wrong with having sex? You ask me, what is wrong? Now, I'm sorry I have to tell you as a true prophet. They are entering into an area which is safeguarded by God by a commandment number 7. Please understand. That is what's wrong with it. That area is called the area of procreation. God creates, but He gives us the power of procreation. And that area is sacred. No man should inadvisedly, wantonly intrude. That's why all the marriage vows, we tell the people, every time when you attend a wedding here, we say, this union of man and woman is not to be entered into inadvisedly, or wantonly, or carelessly, without thinking, just because of pleasure and lust. No, dear friends, we are believers, and that area is safeguarded by God Himself with a commandment. Thou shalt not enter into this unadvisedly, wantonly, or carelessly. It is a great sin to do it. So we must prepare our girls, our daughters, all of you who have daughters and sons. You think sons? Oh, their sons are all right. They don't quite get pregnant, you know. Ah, so you say, my concern is for my daughter. She might get pregnant. But aware says, don't worry. You know what is aware? Are you aware? It says, as long as you don't get pregnant, as long as you don't get infected, as long as there's no violence, as long as both agree, it's okay. It's okay. So this is the advice given to groups of young people in schools, colleges, until the whole thing exploded. Because of a certain Dr. Teo who raised the alarm, who blew the whistle to say, these are false prophets, they're teaching our young people. And it says here, the second headline, this trend is likely to stay. I say, it's likely to increase, not stay. It's going to increase. So that, if you read the Straits Times, it says, if a girl has attained 15 and has not had sex, she's unpopular. If you're popular, you must do it. What does God say? Oh, dear friends, false prophets tell a different story. The prophets of God who preach from this pulpit tell you it is an area of sacred trust God gives to us. If you don't believe, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This is an area that we do not intrude to carelessly, unadvisedly, wantonly, anyhow do. Boys and girls, anytime get together. Ephesians 5. Then we will understand. Then we will conclude this service. Verses 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. How do you love your wives? That is, after you have entered into the bond of marriage, then give her due respect and treasure her. And the best way you can love the wife is to keep her a virgin until the marriage day. That is the only way we can obey the commandment of God. Love your wife. Do not abuse her, because so many are like the son of David. With his own sister, he committed adultery. Then as soon as he committed, he kicked her out of the house. How many of our girls are being kicked out by unknowing boys? Now that is another matter. But I say, love your wife, protect her. Respect her. Regard her as your greatest treasure until the day of marriage, and honor her. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. What is it? Your wives and the marriage bond with the washing of water by the word, but that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Even as Christ loved us, we must love our wives and together be presented to God a chaste, sinless in that sense, yes. Never abuse the marriage bond by fornication. Read, this time we have no, maybe we have time, just if you don't mind, I give you 5 minutes extra. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, alright? Then we will truly end there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That puts an end to all the argument about what to do, how to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now this is Paul's warning and instruction. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Please mark your Bible, because this is the Word of God, infallible, inerrant, and you know it is true, and it is safe, and it is blessed. What does God's Word say? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, that is the sodomites and the homosexuals. These cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If they choose to be and do not want to repent, there is no way they can get into heaven. No way. Yes, I am sorry, as a true prophet, we tell you just straight from the Word of God. Now, same chapter, verse 15. Verse 15. Know ye not, your bodies, young people, yes, tell it to your daughters, tell it to your sons, your bodies are members of Christ. You being a believer, you've baptized and you said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are united with Jesus already in the Spirit. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot, of a woman, unmarried? Verse 18. Now here's the crunch verse. Flee fornication. Don't pretend you're married and go on holidays together. Young people, this is not on. I cannot tell you any other way. So pretend. And just go. It's so expensive to go on vacation if we have 2 rooms. Anyhow, even 2 rooms no good. They get together anyhow. So they do. What can you do? What can we do? Tell them the Word of God as it is, and pray with them, and in no uncertain terms, if they sin because you are lax, the sin is on you. So it says here, flee fornication. Every sin a man does is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Now, verse 19, what? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because you are a Christian. Because when you believe in Jesus Christ, when you accepted His salvation for forgiving you your sins on the cross, He died for you, and you said, God, I thank you. That moment you are united with Christ. And you are part of Him. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit lives in you. Remember this. Therefore, every day, speak to Him. Pray to Him. He strengthens you. You say, how can I? It's so difficult. God never told you it's so easy, you know. Please. God says, yes, it is very difficult. But I enable you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit, the problem is we do not pray. We do not ask Him. You say, Lord, Holy Spirit, please help me to stand against temptation, and I promise you, I will not yield to temptation. That's it. There's no other way. Verse 20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit. What is a true prophet? A true prophet speaks the word of God without compromise. A false prophet says, never mind, hell nowadays is not so hot, don't worry. Hell nowadays is not so long, not forever. Hell nowadays not very populated, only few people get there, maybe you escape. And so this is the modern trend, this is false prophets. They tell people so that they say, never mind, the pastor says so. So why worry, enjoy your life. But dear friends, this is the truth of God. That God has provided the way of escape, the way of victory over sin, by the working of the Holy Spirit, by the pure preaching of the Word of God in truth and in love. Accept this. Amen. This is a little booklet. This is produced by our own in-house printing. Only a limited number of copies will be sold. The bookshop is closed for Chinese New Year, but this is available specially. It is 36 pages of Guide to 20th Century False Prophets. Get your copy before you go. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit convince us of the truth and help us to walk with God in these perilous times, to resist the false teaching of false prophets. O Lord our God, help us. In Jesus' name, Amen.